When you listen to your ambition, you can accomplish amazing things. Whether you're looking to start your career or get ahead in your career, your journey begins at Seneca Polytechnic's Open House on Saturday, April 20th. Join us in person or virtually from 9 a.m. to noon to discover programs, meet Seneca experts, attend live presentations, and explore our campuses. You've got the ambition. Now take the first step. Register at senecapolytechnic.ca.
This podcast is brought to you by Bodog.net.
Don't miss a chance to play at Bodog.net. When the odds are stacked against you, post-game tastes that much sweeter. Bodog.net, your source of free casino games, poker strategies, and live sports odds.
Ottawa, let's spend some time in the box on TSN 1200, recapping yesterday and giving you a head start on today.
Panarin stops to the far circle, finds Fox. Fox fires and scores! And this one did go in, and the Rangers take a 2-1 lead.
Tomasino comes in down the right side, hesitates. He scores! Predators win it! The Predators win in the shootout here tonight.
Stars come up ice. Here's Dadonov down the left side at the near circle. Passes for Domi. Shoots to Smith. Denies him. Rebound. They score. Jamie Benn on a follow-up. Puts it into the back of the net. It's 3-1 Dallas.
In the box.
Far side Bertuzzi. To Pastrnak. Shakes. Shoots. He scores! That's 49 goals for David Pastrnak, a new career high. Bruins 3, Canadiens 1.
TSN 1200.
Out in front of the net, rebound, they score. It's Thomas Sermon finding the loose puck, and Michael Simpson can't stop that one. Sermon
snaps a 12-game goalless drought. The 67s have a 1-0 lead. Jack Beck cuts his way into the point. It goes. Muse, wrist one, he scores. Henry Muse from the point, and the 67s have a 2-1 lead. In the slot, swipes to Vanelli. Quick shot, he scores. Vincent Rohr skating it up over center into space. Brady Stonehouse fires it into the empty net. 67s with a 4-1 lead. Brady Stonehouse into the empty net to cap things off.
In the box.
Here's Stamkos to the line. Crosses at the line, loses the puck. And back the other way. It's a 3-on-1. Batherson, DeBrincat, scores! Lead pass to DeBrincat again, busting in, puts the shoulder down, turns, fires, scores! Oh, that's two scratches on the post for the Cat!
Meow, meow!
Giroux picks it back up again, centering pass, scores! Broussard with a one-timer! Ottawa leads 3-1. Ottawa brings it back up ice, here's Brännström to the Tampa line, carries it in, gets a shot away, scores! Brännström goes coast to coast and beats Elliott High, restores the two-goal lead. Stützle back to the point. Here's Shabbat on the goal line, scores! Brady Tkachuk on the power play. Stützle clears it out, sends it across. Brady Tkachuk, empty net, buries it. 6-2 Ottawa. Puckham's free, gets one away, scores! Watson, blocker side, 7-2 Ottawa.
Now with Chris Stevenson. Here's Steve Lloyd.
10:08 on this Friday. Welcome to it. We're live at the Canadian Tire Center awaiting the start of Sens practice later this morning. And the expectation will be watching Tyler Cleven take his first practice with the Ottawa Senators after signing his entry-level contract yesterday. And the Sens will be feeling good coming off a smooth 7-2 win at home here against the Tampa Bay Lightning last night. A game that had a little bit of spice to it. And these two teams meet again in this building before the end of the season. I'm looking forward to that one, regardless of where the playoff race situation is at that point. That was fun taking that one in last night, and we'll talk about it. We'll look ahead. Next up, it's the Devils. Going to be in Newark to take on the New Jersey Devils tomorrow, and we'll have it for you on TSN 1200. It is Steve Lloyd. It's Chris Stevenson sitting in today. It's producer Matt Conisvita, because Kenny Walls is calling more 67s hockey tonight on TSN 1200. Beat the Petes last night and take on the Petes again this evening as well. And then they close out the regular season tomorrow against Barry. You know how to reach us, 12-1200. Standard text message rates apply. We've got more giving to do. We got the home finale four-pack to give away yet again against the Carolina Hurricanes on April the 10th. We'll have some trivia for you later in the show on that. And it's the last day for Jake Sanderson. Sens jersey giveaway to qualify. Code words coming your way in the 11 hour and again in the 1 hour. Next week, it's Zub. And Sanderson paired with Zub these days, and some high praise from the coach post-game last night. All right, let's settle right in. Good morning, Chris Stevenson. How are you?
Hello. Sorry there. I was a little bit distracted. I was just trying to bid on an Eric Staal Pride jersey.
Oh, no. Yeah, we'll get into that a little bit here on the show as well. And you know what? It's funny how I always remember faster when Kenny's not here. It's kind of an insult, but hi, Matt Conesvita. How are you?
Good morning, gentlemen. I'm doing terrific. Doing terrific. Looking forward to 4 hours with you. Looking forward to being done for the week at 2 o'clock on a Friday instead of 6 o'clock. That's going to be clutch.
Wait a minute. Hang on. What? Last week you were done at 10, weren't you?
I was. 11. I think 11 last Friday.
You had
Friday.
A hybrid show? Oh, that's right. You had the first hour with us. You did, yes.
I can't remember for certain, but I think I was on till 11 last week. But yeah. Still, I didn't have to wake up at 4 this morning, so yep. That was a win in itself. And then done for the weekend at 2? Oh, Everything's coming up, Matty. I'm feeling good.
That's good. That's the one thing. You know, I work some mornings as well. I'm going to be doing some mornings coming up in the next little while again. And, you know, it's getting up a little bit earlier than we're used to, right? If you're not used to it, you know, I'm not a nap guy. Like, whenever in the past, if I've done a long run of mornings, I get into a routine. And you get the nap in and don't nap too long. You find your sweet spot, right? Because we're still staying up watching sports at night. It's what we do, right? So it's not like you can crash super early. You won't be ready for what you got to talk about the next day. But when you do the one-off weeks, it's a grind. But that's the payoff at the end of the week. The Friday morning, I'm done. I'm done for the weekend on a Friday morning.
Yeah, that would not be my thing, that morning show. Over the course of my professional life.
You're a night owl.
When you guys would be getting up to go and do that show would often be the time that I would probably be getting home. So, yeah, that was not – doesn't really align
or
properly.
Or you're getting up for the middle of the night. I got to take care of some business, and I'm going back to bed. Maybe you just got in a little bit a while ago, yeah. Right? And you're still some things flowing through your system.
Yes.
Right, CJ?
Yeah.
You're picking up where we're laying down?
Yeah.
That's good.
No, this is a sweet spot. 10 to 2 is nice and good for you, Maddie. That'll give you an early start on navigating getting out of the market.
Oh, man. It took me 20 minutes yesterday afternoon to get from our building on George Street to the highway. And, like, it legit 20 minutes to get to the highway.
What's it like today?
It's going to be worse today. I could tell coming in. Coming in wasn't so bad. Okay. But Dalhousie going south towards, you know, Les Suites, where you would normally turn right and make the left at Rideau.
Yeah.
You can't turn right there. The cops have that blocked off. They had that blocked off yesterday as well. But when I got here this morning at around 9, Dalhousie southbound was backed up past Murray Street.
Now, I don't know the answer to this question, so I'm putting you on the spot. Is LRT affected at all with this? Because would it be, if you had to come downtown, maybe park at the outer edges that you can east and west and do that instead? Would that be a viable plan for today, Maddie?
Now,
if you're somebody that usually drives downtown?
I haven't seen anything since Joe Biden has actually arrived, but what I saw in anticipation of his visit here is that LRT would not be affected, but buses downtown were.
Yes.
So if you take the train, I think you can still get off at any and every stop through downtown, but the buses that drive through downtown are affected heavily.
Okay, well, good luck, as you're all excited about being off at 2.
I've got a plan. I got a plan.
Okay, going to the plan.
Going Parkway. I'm going to go down Vanier Parkway and then take...
Little St. Patrick and just go down.
Maybe
all right,
the Sir gotcha. George Etienne. Yeah. I can't remember what it's called now. The Airport Parkway, whichever one to get to Orleans. I'm not trying to get to the Queensway because...
Right.
You're going to go past the Space and Aviation Museum?
Yeah, exactly.
Going all the way?
But
okay.
I pivoted
but aren't
yesterday.
They having, they're having a dinner there tonight.
Oh!
Yeah, yep. Tonight. Not
at the Aviation Museum. So
fine.
I don't know if they close it down early then, but yeah, they're having a dinner there tonight.
But I pivoted yesterday to try and get to the highway, and two lights in a row, there was a truck and then an STO bus who decided, you know what, I'm going to block the entire intersection trying to turn left.
Yeah.
And I missed two light cycles by these idiots blocking the entire intersection. I was not pleased.
Okay.
I let the STO bus driver know, too. Honked a lot. He didn't care. Yeah, he didn't care.
You got a little horn happy?
Oh, extremely. Come on. Just wait at the light. No one can turn right there. You're going to be next up. Don't block the entire freaking intersection. Come on, people. Be smarter.
Let it all out, Matty.
Yeah, be smarter.
I guess we're venting here on a Friday morning, aren't we?
Well, I had to make it out to the rink to work with Dave Mishkin, the Condor, one of my all-time favorites, one of the best guys working in the National Hockey League. I hadn't seen him in years. He didn't make it last year. I think he had some family stuff going on when the Bolts were coming to town, and then there was an Omicron shutdown or something. But was really looking forward, and I needed to get out to the rink. So I was a little rushed. And two light cycles in a row. Come on, people. It's frustrated.
Okay.
All right. All good.
Well, I guess we're on the topic of whining about
it feels like we're just carrying over the WTF from the morning show.
By the way, speaking of which, Matt is going to co-host the show on Tuesday with me next week. We'll hear about awful bagels and it's too hot in here. And where's the Wi-Fi?
Too much traffic on my street.
That's right. They're driving too fast in my street. So we'll have that for you Tuesday. That's in the box.
God, that's
somewhat
good
early
stuff.
Next week. You're back with me on Monday. So
yeah,
and then we'll whine even more on the Tuesday. I had a moment yesterday after the show. I was out running some errands and I'm leaving a parking lot where was I exactly? Which is a grocery store or Costco, whatever. And I've got to make a left, and it's starting to get busy, right, at that time of day. So as you know, you're making a left on, and you got to make the left, and there's no light onto a somewhat busy street, busy enough, right?
Yeah.
Not crazy. It's not like a four-laner, but it was busy enough.
Yeah.
When you see your moment, you got to take it.
Yeah.
You can't hesitate.
To be aggressive.
You're going. It's
yes.
Like,
committed. You're committed.
You got to commit.
Yeah.
To gunning it quickly.
Yeah.
And then slow down. And make your turn so you're not screwing up everybody else.
Yeah.
He who hesitates is lost. It's like Gord Wilson likes to say when he calls hockey games. You can't hesitate because it'll screw you up. But it's also dangerous for everybody else. They want you to be commit to what you're doing there, guy. Okay? Commit. So when you do that, maybe you're not paying close enough attention to the state of the road directly in front of you. Ba-bang! It's pothole season, folks. And it was such a hard one that it made you think, man, is that a bearing issue? I got to listen carefully the rest of the drive home here. I think I'm good. But it was a wow.
Yeah.
It was one of those ones. It wasn't like a bump. It was like ba-bang.
Yeah.
Where you actually
and you know,
feel it,
went
it hit the
all
rim.
All the way to the bottom. Yeah. Yeah.
So it's pothole season.
Yeah.
Be wary out there as it gets a little more mild there these days.
Well, I was listening to the show the other day. I don't know who was doing the traffic updates, Matty, but just past Bayshore, westbound, like three cars with flat tires because of one pothole, and the left lane was closed.
Mechanics that are specializing in alignments and replacing bearings, you're licking your lips right now. Oh, this is like, you know, holiday Christmas shopping season for you.
Dented rims.
You're making your year right now.
Yeah.
All right. Okay, that's enough, eh? That's enough for now. And whining off the top of the show. All right, we're going to wait for the start of Sens practice, and we'll see what we see. A couple things. Matty pointed this out because he does the visiting radio on his Twitter feed last night. Good eye by Matty. At the end of the game, everybody's excited here in the building. Sens win. They pace the Lightning. But Thomas Chabot went down the tunnel. He didn't stay on the ice, on the bench. Blocked a shot late. And Matty, why don't you take it from there, from what you saw? Now, the good news is he did speak to the media after, so it seems like everything's okay. That's good. But there's a little bit of concern because Chychrun had already left the game.
Yes.
Yeah, he blocked a shot with his right hand with probably about 2 minutes to go in the game. And you could see him on the ice shaking it off. And so I was keeping my eye on him when he went to the bench, and the trainer came over, was looking at what looked to me, I'm not a doctor, but looked to me like he was... checking his right wrist, and so Sens obviously win the game, and everyone pours onto the ice except for Thomas Chabot, who went straight back to the room. He didn't celebrate. He went straight back to the room with the trainer, and so I was a little worried about that. Just, you know, if he's all good, you would think that he'd do the little twirl on the ice and salute the fans. As you pointed out, the good news is he spoke to the media after the game, so I don't think anything super serious would have happened, because generally when players are injured, they aren't made available to the media. But that's something that I hope you guys will keep an eye on for me at practice today. Make sure that he's a participant and the right wrist is looking okay.
And also Jacob Chychrun, for that matter. DJ Smith was asked about that. He did not finish the game, kind of went awkwardly into the end boards. But then DJ Smith did elaborate on the appointment that he had yesterday morning, that why he missed the morning skate. He had a root canal, and he said he hasn't been sleeping. Yeah, that'll do that. So
there might be many humans who would spend the rest of the day in the fetal position after a root canal.
And it made me think of this, because it was a fun game last night. Like there was some spice to it, as I like to say. I think Jake Chychrun, and I kind of used this expression yesterday to describe Jonathan Quick and how much he wants to play the Kings probably in the playoffs as a member of the Knights now. Like Jonathan Quick always struck me as the type of guy on an irritability scale.
Yes.
He wakes up at a 7.
He's a bit surly. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So I would say Jake Chychrun played last night after having a root canal on no sleep, because he's probably in some pain. There's a reason why he had a root canal. And so when Hedman went through him, he wasn't having it. Yeah. He wasn't having it.
Yeah.
Especially after what Janot did to Hamonic as well. So I think...
I've already had a crappy day, and now you're putting me over the top.
Yeah, it's like, you know what, Victor? Yeah, I'm not having this right now. You picked the wrong day.
Yeah.
I'm not letting this one go. I'm already on tilt.
Yeah.
So...
And it was a slew foot.
The Hamonic one was worse.
Yes.
But the Hedman one, I don't...
I can understand how it happened.
I'll give Hedman the benefit of the doubt. I don't think he's trying to exactly do that, but you did it.
Yeah.
You did it.
That's it.
Right?
That's right.
Janot, that was dirty. He stuck his leg out and clipped the heel of Hedman.
Yeah, well, I mean, spin the wheel, right, of justice, but we'll keep an eye on it. I don't think anything more than a fine would probably come out of that, but we'll see.
Okay.
But I thought it was... I didn't like the Hedman one. I probably felt the same way that Chychrun did about it, that it was sketchy.
Yeah.
It was sketchy.
I just had a root canal this morning and... All right, bud.
Yeah.
I think we're... Yeah.
Yeah.
It was interesting. Okay, and the Lightning. We got to talk about the Lightning as well. Where are they going?
Yeah, I tweeted this, and like, I didn't want to take anything away from... don't want to take anything away from the Senators, because they were flying. I thought it was one of their best passing games that they've had in a long time. So I don't want to take anything away from the Senators game. They were full value for the victory. But it's clear, and those clips Maddie played off of the top there. Early in the game, one of the DeBrincat goals, and you hear Stamkos turns it over at the line. Their puck management last night was absolutely horrific for the Lightning. They turned the puck over, and like I said, don't take anything away from the Senators. They seized the opportunities that a very undisciplined Lightning team offered up for them. And I know a lot of people, you know, have been talking about the Leafs and the Lightning, and that, you know, pretty much since before Christmas, they've known that they're going to be playing each other, and that both teams might be kind of settled into that mindset of, let's just play out the string. We know who we're going to play. There's something going on with the Lightning. You lost to Montreal. You lost to Ottawa. Cooper benched the top guys for a period last week. And did they not just look, you just mentioned waking up being a 7 on the surly scale. That's the way they look right now. No, nobody looks happy. Kucherov was almost invisible, I thought, last night. He's probably still wound up with a couple of points. Didn't he have a couple of assists last night? Didn't have nearly the impact on a game that we're used to seeing from him. Uncharacteristic turnovers by Stamkos. And they just, something's going on there. I don't know if they've grown tired of the coach. The coach didn't look happy behind the bench. Who would be with your team getting spanked the way they did last night? But the whole vibe around that team just felt like there's something going on there.
So much success.
Works better when I turn my mic back on.
Yeah.
So much success the last few years.
Yeah.
So you can say, hey, listen, that's a lot of hockey. It's a lot of the same messaging with a lot of hockey.
Yeah.
I think it's fair to bring that up. I'd be shocked. Let's say they lose to the Leafs in the first round, that it's not pretty. Do you think the coach's job's on the line?
Maybe.
Yeah, really, in the offseason?
Yeah.
Are you going to ease in the next year and see? I'm just asking because I know he signed that, he's still got a year or two at least left on the, maybe more, I can check on that. But
yes.
He's got term.
Yeah.
Makes a lot of money, and that'd be a heck of a thing. It's like you go to three straight finals, win two of them, you have one bad year, and we fire you. That'd be my other side of the coin logic.
Agreed. But if you've entered that, and we see it time and time and time again, and it just happens. Good coaches. How many good coaches, you know, wind up having success with more than one team? Because you do just get to the point, as you said.
Yeah. It happens to everybody eventually.
Players are tired of seeing your face and hearing your voice at the rink all the time because, for the most part, your job is to point out what's wrong and fix what's wrong.
And when you talk about players change, but on successful teams, cores stay together. Yeah. And this core, it's a lot of the same important guys year after year with the same coach.
Yeah, and they've, changed, obviously. We talk a lot about the third line and how big that was for them and how they switched that out. And so they've changed assistant coaches. You know, Rick Bowness kind of took the fall for their failure in one of the Stanley Cup finals. So they've kind of tweaked around the edges and with the third line. But yeah, just lately now, when you're entering the most critical part of your schedule, the last 3 weeks of the regular season, when you want to start turning the screws, start honing everything and hoping, because there is a lot of hope involved, that you can be playing your best hockey when the playoffs start, it is absolutely going in the wrong direction for the Lightning right now.
And we all read into little things, right? Because when we see a team that is that successful, and now you're having some questions, you can come up with different theories, and we're floating a few right now. But, I didn't come to the game last night. Just watched it at home. And after Maroon got tossed by Garrett Rank, and Maroon, he's lucky he didn't get more because the way he was banging the stick and motioning as he left. And then Cooper's not happy, and I get that. Coach is going to stick up for your player. And Garrett Rank, to his credit, he came over and he gave Cooper the time of day.
Yeah.
He didn't ignore him.
Yeah.
He's speaking to him. And you could tell Cooper starts doing the arm waving. And then Stamkos is right in front of him. And Stamkos turned his head. And you could tell the quick body language, tough to read the lips, whatever.
Yeah.
But it seemed to me Stamkos was something like, that's enough.
Yeah.
To his coach.
Settle down.
Settle down here.
Yeah.
Because we're gonna get two.
Yeah.
You're gonna get tossed. Something bad is gonna happen here. Let it go.
Yeah.
We're upset.
Yeah.
We've said our piece. I think we're done here. And was the player, that turned around and said
yes.
That.
Yeah. No. I feel like there's something going on there. Not good for Tampa, which is probably encouraging news for Leaf fans who might be listening. But for me, that again just sets up and makes that whole matchup between the Leafs and the Lightning even more intriguing now. If the Lightning's going to be kind of going in there with some question marks over what's going on with their team, that's going to make that series all the more interesting.
All right, we'll take a break here.
Your point there about Garrett Rank.
Yes.
Like seeing a referee go to the bench and talk to the coaches and the players. So many of the new guys will just stick to the other side of the ice, won't go near the bench, and we have seen a bunch of coaches losing it on referees this year. And I don't know if it's because I've gotten to know Garrett a little bit over the years, more through golf than through the NHL, had the opportunity to cover him when he qualified for the U.S. Open at Shinnecock. So, spent almost a whole week talking to him almost every day. And I thought that was a sign of a guy coming into the league and now getting the confidence to be able to go and have that dialogue with the coach and be ready to take whatever the coach is going to serve up. Because I think a lot of the young guys, I think that's one of the problems and why the level of frustration in the NHL runs high at times. We've seen a massive turnover in officiating in the NHL over the last few years, and I want to say they're losing three more veteran guys this year, because we're seeing the stories are coming up of guys working their last game and who they want to work, what city they want to work their last game in, who they want to have on the crew that night working with them. They want their friends to be working with them. I've seen two or three of those stories, so we're going to be losing some more veteran officials. So as these younger guys come in, I know it takes time to establish relationships and everything else, but that was one thing that I did like. It was interesting that you pointed that out, that Rank went right to the bench and leaned on the boards there and let Cooper have his say. And that's what the veteran guys would do. Have your say.
But it's got to be twofold, because I've seen the odd instances you have over the years where a referee will go over there, but will quickly, it's almost a trap. I want you to be angry in my face, and now I'm going to give you an extra.
Yeah.
So if you do that, it's great. But also do that knowing, okay, I'm going over here. I got to have a little bit of a thick skin because I'm going to take some.
Oh, yeah.
Let them say a few things, but then have your little, wherever your line is in your mind. If you go too far, then all right. So, but I love seeing that. I do.
Yeah.
It's got to be a back and forth.
I think that's important. Yeah. I think that's important that you'll wind up having that dialogue. And, you talk about managing the game and everything else. To a certain extent, that is managing the game, because you're letting the ref and the coach have that dialogue. And hopefully the coach is letting off a little bit of steam and at least feels like he's got his message out there, even if it feels like it's falling on deaf ears. At least I had the opportunity, and now I'm not standing here just dropping 40 F-bombs again for the next 5 minutes every time the guy comes near the bench.
And I'm getting an explanation that I might not like, but at least I can see the point of view.
Yeah.
And we can just, we can go our separate ways. Yeah. And anyways, little element from last night's game.
One more little quick thought on that. Brian Murray, right? He was a champion at getting on the refs. Like, that was one of his big things. And I can remember him saying he'd be riding a referee for a call, and he said the thing he said he would never have anything to say about with the ref would skate over to the bench and be like, "You're right, Brian. Sorry, I missed that one." And Brian was like, what do you say after that?
Yeah,
what do you say after that?
You took the air out of my balloon.
Yeah.
I was ready to go.
Yeah.
I had some good zingers.
Yeah.
I guess we're done here.
Sorry, though. Brian, you're right. I missed that one.
All right. We'll take a break. Sen's full practice gets underway at around 11:30. Usually, I wouldn't be surprised if it's a little bit earlier. Usually, on a getaway day, it could be. We'll be watching for multiple things. Tyler Kleppen, expect him to have his first practice with the team. And Jacob Chikrin, is he going to be there? If he is, how's he look? Thomas Chabot, maybe, to Maddie's viewing at the end of the game last night. So, a few things to ponder as we continue on from CTC on In the Box on TSN 1200.
This podcast is brought to you by Bodog.net.
Don't miss a chance to play at Bodog.net. When the odds are stacked against you, post-game tastes that much sweeter. Bodog.net, your source of free casino games, poker strategies, and live sports odds.
When you listen to your ambition, you can accomplish amazing things. Whether you're looking to start your career or get ahead in your career, your journey begins at Seneca Polytechnic's Open House on Saturday, April 20th. Join us in person or virtually from 9 a.m. to noon to discover programs, meet Seneca experts, attend live presentations, and explore our campuses. You've got the ambition. Now take the first step. Register at senecapolytechnic.ca.
Now back to In the Box on TSN 1200.
All right, Maddie, I know what you're doing. You were paying attention the other day. I actually chimed in with Jeremy Taggart on Twitter. It was the 29th anniversary of Naveed.
We're old.
Oh, man. Yeah, and I still have a concert shirt with the first lyrics of this song written on the back from one of the many shows I went and saw OLP back in the day.
Yeah, there's going to be a song from Naveed every hour today.
All right.
It's going to happen.
Nice.
That's okay.
Some Julia for you, some Neon Crossing for me.
Nice. That's good. We'll take it.
Yeah, it's going to happen.
It's going to happen.
One of my all-time favorite formative albums.
Chris Stevenson, Matty Conesfita, Steve Lloyd with you in the box. CJ and I are here at Canadian Tire Center waiting the start of Sens practice. They're going to be off to Jersey to take on the Devils. Listen, we know it's still a severe long shot, but the out-of-town scoreboard was generous last night to the Senators. Basically, I think the Sens can afford to lose. Well, they can afford to give up two more points the rest of the way, probably. I think 94 points, maybe 1 point.
Yeah,
they can afford to give up.
That's what I'm
maybe
kind of feeling.
Point. Yeah. So maybe two, probably one on the table is what they can afford. So we know what it looks like here. But as I said the other day, it's the way we were talking about with Gord. It's enjoyable to watch this team play games against quality opponents at this time of year, and you know you're not officially out of it yet.
Yes.
The players still believe, and that's what matters most for getting something out of it here, at the very, very least, right?
Yeah.
And I said the other day, and before last night, I just hope, because I'm working all the pregame shows actually next week, starting Monday. Gary Bettman's in town. That's going to be interesting,
yep.
And all that, right?
Yep.
And it's Florida, and they got two against Florida left, and Florida's one of the teams ahead of them they're trying to catch. And Florida's on the outside looking in right now still, and they lost last night. Get to Monday is my thing. And get to Monday means, I said, get at least 3 or 4 points the next 2 days, next two games. Well, they got two last night. Get at least a point tomorrow. So when you get to Monday, you're still...
Yes.
You know, you're still math. The math, you're still there with the math at least.
Yeah.
Right?
Yep.
Just get to the next home game. They got to run a home game starting again on Monday. Got three in a row here next week. Piecemeal, CJ. Piecemeal.
Yep.
Get to Monday. Have a good crowd. Have a good game. See if you can beat the Panthers and move on to the next one. Because I don't want to rain anybody's parade, but everybody, even the most ardent Sens fans know that they... You want to talk about miracles? That would be an absolute miracle for this team to make the playoffs. We all know that. But let's short-term this thing. Get the Monday night's home game. Be mathematically alive. Play the Panthers. Have some fun. That's where I'm at.
And there's going to be doing with the show with you that day. I will try and do some digging around on the ownership situation. I have had a couple of discussions in the last week with people who are involved, who are very reluctant to have too much to say for fear of ticking the commissioner off.
It's Bike Club, as we know.
Which you have
you
to,
don't
yes,
talk about it.
No, which you have to respect. I do know that. The impression is out there that all the groups are going to be coming to Ottawa. I can say that there have already been a couple of the bidding entities, let's put it that way, have been here and been scoping out Ottawa, checking out LeBreton Flats, and so that process is already well underway. They've been using the information that they've gleaned in meeting with local people to help formulate their next offer. Everybody's put a preliminary offer in now, and now everybody's trying to come up with what they think is a fair bid, and it's, you know, like bidding on a house. Like, what are the other guys going to do? This is all right now interesting to me because all of the groups are trying to find out what the other groups are doing.
Like,
there's a certain level of industrial espionage going on here to, you know,
yep.
Content is king. Info is king. They're all trying to figure out what the other groups are going to do. Who might, and this is still not out of the question either. There are, back channel conversations going on between the various groups to see if maybe there's a fit. If you're more interested in the real estate, I'm more interested in the hockey team. Maybe there's a fit there for us where it works for both of us. We can offer even more money and we'll both be happy.
We both get what we want.
Right. So those kind of, because I think within each of the bidding groups, if you wanted to do it by a percentage, there are some of the groups, the percentage of interest in the real estate development is higher than it is in owning the team. And in some other groups, it's higher in owning the team, and we'll bring some other people in to help us with the real estate. So I think there's still a lot to be determined, and what potential alliances could be forged, not to mention the local group. You know, we keep hearing about Jeff York and from Farm Boy, and that they've managed to put together maybe as much as $100 million to be able to be part of one of the groups and kind of be the local boots on the ground.
Is it your understanding? Because that's been my read on it, and I'm just going by information that, you know, has been gathered and we all know about, right?
Yes.
And you try to speak to some, but yeah. Generally speaking, you know, that group, it's all about it. That's never been a group that's been trying to raise enough local capital to put in a bid themselves. It's
right.
About joining
yes.
somebody
that's
else
my understanding
that is going
of
to
it.
Win.
Yeah.
Okay, all right.
And they can bring, which I think is going to be really important for the success of this, given it is Ottawa, and Ottawa has its own particular characteristics, and, you know, away from Parliament Hill, it is kind of like two different communities here, right? There's the Parliament Hill bubble, and then there's the actual Ottawa community. And having guys who have deep roots in that Ottawa community, who know all the movers and shakers and are, in fact, movers and shakers themselves, I think in particular for Ottawa, that it's important to have their expertise, their knowledge of this market, and the fact that they know all the people that you need to know to make this successful in terms of people who are going to be involved. You know, we're here in Club Bell watching practice today. The people who are going to be buying the seats in Club Bell, and who are going to be buying advertising, and who will be corporate partners. You know, that local group has got all of those connections. So I think it's pretty ridiculous to think of those people as being at the grassroots level. But I think they are critical at that level to help whoever winds up owning this team be successful in terms of their connections to their community and having local businesses on board. So it's going to be very interesting to see how all that shakes out as well. But as I've said, bidders have already been to town to check things out. Maybe that goes to a more official or formal level next week with Bettman and Daly coming here. But there's still a lot to be there's a lot of things we can talk about here. There's still a lot to be determined just in terms of what the ownership group is going to look like and how it's going to be composed. And I was, for one, not surprised at all to hear Mayor Mark Sutcliffe make the comments that he did yesterday. We've talked about negotiating before. Why would he come out and say, yeah, LeBreton Flats is the best and only option here? You're giving leverage then to the NCC.
Exactly.
I don't know why people would get bent out of shape over the mayor, who's a politician, saying that there's other options out there.
You don't want to hand all
the negotiating power over to the NCC by saying, yeah, it's got to be at LeBreton Flats. Everything's a negotiation.
It's like players. Like, we'll bring it back to, oh, no, yes, I definitely. The only place I want to play is Ottawa, and this is where I want to play, and I want to sign 100%, even if that's the case, or said city.
Yes.
You don't say that.
Yeah.
Why would you do that?
Right. So... this is all, there's a whole bunch of stuff being said publicly. Let's put it that way. There's a whole bunch of stuff being said publicly, and there's a whole bunch of other stuff going on behind the scenes. But it's going to be really intriguing to me to see the result of all of these, you know, back channel conversations and everything else, and what the group finally winds up looking like. I will say this. I will predict I will predict that the price announced for the purchase of the Ottawa Senators will be at least $1 billion.
I won't be surprised by that.
No. I just think the look and the sound of that is what the NHL wants to achieve. Because I don't have any doubts myself that expansion is coming.
Yeah.
It makes sense on too many different levels. The owners don't have to share that money with the players.
Yeah. I got some thoughts on that as well. I got into a bit last week. Sorry to cut you off because we got to get another break in.
Yeah, yeah.
And we got to come back, and then Gord's going to join us early next hour. But we can sink our teeth into this a little bit more here later in the show, as the interested parties are in or will be arriving in town soon over the course of the next week and a bit, as we know, and the commissioner is going to be here on Monday. So starting to get a little more interesting.
And, yeah.
And look, it's not like it's super, super close, but relatively speaking, we're close. We're close. This isn't going to be months and months and months away. All right?
We're looking at, you know, the ownership group being identified probably within the next month.
Yeah.
And then, you know, there'll be more negotiations after that, ironing everything out, because I think there'll have to be a negotiation with the new group. To dot all the I's and cross all the T's, and that might take another month, but is July 1st a realistic expectation for having it all done? Probably.
All right, we'll take a break, come back, and then Gord's going to join us shortly after 11, and then by 11:30 we'll have practice, and we'll see who's out there, and Clevin, and all of that. We're live at Canadian Tire Center. It's In the Box on TSN 1200.
When you listen to your ambition, you can accomplish amazing things. Whether you're looking to start your career or get ahead in your career, your journey begins at Seneca Polytechnic's Open House on Saturday, April 20th. Join us in person or virtually from 9 a.m. to noon to discover programs, meet Seneca experts, attend live presentations, and explore our campuses. You've got the ambition. Now take the first step. Register at senecapolytechnic.ca.
Now back to In the Box on TSN 1200.
Well, CJ, we kind of blew up the clock rambling, so we're going to be really brief here because we got Gord Wilson. We're going to bring Gord on ahead of practice for a Sens and NHL insider hit because it's going to get crazy. After practice, quick, boom, 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 airport gone. So yeah. Gord's going to join us in our next segment and get his thoughts on the win last night, the look ahead, all things Sens and Clevin and... hopefully Chikrin's okay. Hopefully Shabbat's okay. All of it. We're going to get to that in our next segment. But in the interim, let's hit our web poll question of the day, brought to you by the Tool and Equipment Store. Which player do you think will be a key contributor for the Sens next season? Of these four options. So the question is, who's going to be the biggest key contributor, right? Is it going to be Ridly Gregg? Is it going to be Tyler Cleven? Is it going to be JBD? Is it going to be Mad Sogard? So you can only, by the way, people say, what about? You can only do four, all right? So we couldn't do Lassie Thompson as an option or somebody else that maybe you were thinking of. Those are the four we went with. Ridly Gregg, Tyler Cleven, JBD, Mad Sogard. Who are you going with? Oh, I love the sigh.
Well, and I like these because I never look at this stuff ahead of time. I like to just get hit with it. It's hard not to take a goaltender, right? Whenever you've got one of these questions, who can have the biggest impact? Who can be the most influential? Like, it's going to be very interesting to see the decisions that they make about who is going to, as Creature likes to say, tend the twine for the Senators next year, because they've got some options. A lot of big question marks, of
course.
The
option might be outside the organization,
that's it.
For all we know.
That's it. Because, you know, do you bring Talbot back? Does Forsberg come back from his double knee injuries? Tough to say the goaltender. But I'm going to go with Ridly Gregg.
Okay.
I'm going to go with Ridly Gregg. And this is why. I have to be quick here, I guess. We've been talking about the lack of scoring from that bottom six. And I think that there's an opportunity there for him to step in and really anchor that bottom six next year and hopefully provide more offense, which is a big thing for them. 5-on-5 scoring, we've been over that for most of the season. So I think Ridly Greig having the opportunity to anchor third or fourth line, whatever it is, and hopefully boost the offensive production and give you Stützle, Norris, Pinto, Greig. That's a pretty good 1-4 center ice position. So if he can come in and have an impact in terms of increasing the offense from the bottom three, bottom six, and help them 5-on-5, and if needed, move up the lineup a little bit, I think potentially out of that group, he's the one who's got the opportunity next season to have the biggest impact.
Okay. I like it. But I went.
It's probably last on the picks, but that's fine.
No, it's not. We'll go to break here, Matty. Get Gord on in our next segment. I went with Matt Sogard.
Yep.
Just
which is the easy pick. That's fine, Lloydy.
It is an easy pick. But the thing is, it could be an awful pick because what if Forsberg comes back? He's a signed goalie. He's here.
Yes.
And what if they decide to go into the marketplace and all of a sudden Sogard's. He's got to push
he's
again.
Back in Belleville.
He's a Belleville guy. So this could be an awful pick on my part.
Yeah.
But I do like what I've seen. I think he is going to make it as a full-time NHL goaltender. He's only here because of the injury situation right now. Playing well right now. And this is maybe a recency bias because he's played well the last few games. But I went with Sogard. Well, it's interesting that Greig and Sogard in this web poll, man, it's a dead heat between those two. Greig is leading at 43% of the vote. Sogard is second at 42.7.
Oh, wow.
And then JBD is dead last at 2.4. And Klevin, recency bias, he's a shiny new toy, at 12%. So this is about Greig and Sogard, and it's a dead heat pretty much between the two on our web poll. So keep your votes coming. Tool and Equipment Store web poll question of the day at tsn1200.ca. Gord is next. Speaking of a Tool and Equipment Store, Gord's going to join us as our Sens and NHL insider next. Sens practice about a half hour away, off to Jersey to take on the Devils tomorrow, and live on TSN 1200.